Buying or selling a home can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. Heritage Realty makes buying and selling easy. With Heritage Realty, you get local market expertise, one-on-one service, and the support of a network of agents across the area. Heritage Realty cares about the details and goes above and beyond to deliver the service you need. Knowledge is power. Trust Heritage Realty to buy or sell your home. For the newest listings and detailed market reports, visit heritagerealtyknox.com. Heritage Realty, where today's technology meets traditional customer service.
Sometimes you just step to the microphone and the radio program works itself out, does it not? Hour number three of the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. How goes it? Tyler Ivins and Will West. We're on the top floor. Cumulus Broadcasting here on Old Kingston Pike. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Whether it's Tennessee struggles to a 500 SEC record out of the gate, whether it's remembering about Lane Kiffin 12 years ago last night, or... Will, I'm going to be honest with you. One mention of coconut and Samoas and tagalongs and Girl Scout cookies, and we can just set everything ablaze right now. 2 hours in, anything you missed, that's available at the website, 991thesportsanimal.com. All right, Will, last night it was the 12-year anniversary of Lane Kiffin wanting to do a press conference announcing that he was leaving for Los Angeles in the Pac-12. That did not happen. From what about the recruits to people hitting their heads on tables to the greatest YouTube video I think I might have watched, that exchange between Bud Ford and reporters. What do you remember about a dozen years ago last night?
Yeah. So it was a weird situation because that I had gotten a call the night before from a buddy of mine in LA at the time that said, hey, that was tied in with the USC. And he said, hey, there. And I'd been shooting emails and texting him and stuff like that. And he said, they're going back to Mike Riley. And at the time, Mike Riley, I think, was at Oregon State. I think it was after he lost the Chargers job, went back to Oregon State. And they'd already went to him once and he turned them down. And they went to, I think, Sarkisian for a second time, and he turned them down. Then they were maybe Del Rio, and then they went back to he was like, they're going back to Mike Riley. And if Mike Riley says no, they're going to offer the job to Lane. So the next morning, I go into work, and I'm sitting in the sports office that at the time John and Jimmy and I shared. And I look, I'm talking to Jimmy, and like, hey, I got tipped off to this that they're going to offer Lane if Mike Riley turns them down later today. And he said, that's interesting, because I got a tipped off yesterday that Lane told Mike Hamilton if they offer, he's leaving. And I was like, well, that's not a good combination, because Mike Riley's already turned him down once. So we go on the air at 12. Nothing's happened at that point. And Josh and I kind of talk about it. We decide we're going to float that balloon out there just to kind of prepare everybody in the fan base. And so we just say, hey, look out for this possibly happening. There was during that, we go to commercial, a guy from sales runs up from the second floor, starts chewing us out for saying that on the air that Lane would leave. He would never do it and stuff like that. He called us unprofessional. It was a whole thing. And then, sure enough, later that night, Lane leaves. And it was so funny. I got a text from somebody at UT and said, Lane's leaving. And I was like, here we go. So we, everything that happened that night, from students outside the library there burning mattresses in the streets to Swiper Boy saying that KPD had pepper sprayed students that were burning mattresses in the streets, KPD releasing a statement on Twitter saying that we have not pepper sprayed anybody. Swiper Boy quote tweeting it saying, yes, you did. I saw you pepper sprayed them. I was told later that was not KPD that did that. It was another group that did that, not KPD. So, but it was, the whole thing was a train wreck. And then you're right. Then it culminated with that press conference, or Lane wanted to do a press conference. So everybody's waiting there for hours and Lane wants to do a goodbye presser, which never happens. No one ever does that on the way out when they take another job. They leave like they're the dang Baltimore Colts in the middle of the night, right? That's the only way that they leave. And so Lane's trying to do a presser. I guess when it came down to it, he wanted to do it, but he wouldn't allow video for whatever reason. He wanted them to turn the cameras off and he would address them first.
Right.
And then he would do a presser and the people wouldn't, like the one of the TV producers or news directors in town refused to turn the camera off. So everybody just sits there at this stalemate for hours waiting to see if this guy's going to turn the camera off so that you can get this press conference with Lane that's going to be gold. Now, look, for me, I would have looked at it this way, but my background's production, not journalism. I would have said, okay, the most important thing is get this information to the public. I would have said, we'll get the audio from Lane. We'll put a file photo up. We'll play that audio. Literally not one human being is going to change the channel if that happens. And not in Knoxville, Tennessee, as this is all going down. And I would have rolled with it that way, but he didn't. And he didn't back down. And so they sat there for hours. And then Lane didn't do a press conference. And everything else is history and a book from Mark Nagy.
I'm going to tell you, there was a time as Twitter was starting to evolve and turn into this monster that it is now, that I have to ask myself, could we have seen comparisons to Shiano Sunday back 12 years ago when Kiffin was jetting for the Pac-12? If this entity of Twitter was to the level that it is today, because I think it could have been absolute madhouse if that's where it was today.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Think about what Shiano Sunday was. If that happened, absolutely. So let me ask you though, in the years you've been a Tennessee fan your whole life, you're from Tennessee, graduated from the university. What's the weirdest thing that has happened to Tennessee? Because that night with Lane Kiffin set off a lot of weird nights and afternoons to come over the next 12 years.
You know, there have been not as many as people would believe, because the two that take the cake at the beginning is definitely Kiffin and the Shiano situation. I will tell you, Beverly Davenport, when she brought Fulmer in as the AD, that was the day I literally did five different hits with five different radio stations across the United States.
So yeah, that was bad poop crazy. You're right.
I mean, just from a career standpoint, it would have to be the hiring of Fulmer. And I'll tell you, man, I would even say it was as equally as awkward whenever they were stepping him aside. After he read his prepared statement, watching him stand or sit up there with Randy Boyd and with Donde Plowman was just kind of just, it was, yeah, the awkwardness level slowly started to creep up with every question they allowed them to ask with Fulmer still up there. And I will say, I think that one was significantly weird too. Better. Go ahead.
Yeah, that one was awkward too. I was just going to say that one was awkward too, but why
do you think there have been so many weird, awkward situations like that with Tennessee Athletics?
I think they've had the wrong people up there who have not been able to who excel in certain situations. And I think that there was a time where there was a lot of people outside of the program and outside of the university kind of saw what was happening. And nobody wanted to be truthful with themselves here in Knoxville, that this program and this university at a time in the athletics department, things were just going south. And just when people thought that things were going to get better, it was, well, no, there's another level to come, and then there's another level to come. And I think a lot of people, some that we've already mentioned this morning, I think a lot of coaches swooped in and said, you know what, they're kind of right now falling flat on their face, and they're looking for anybody just to stop the free fall, and I think they're willing to shell out money. I think not only was it a lot of a laughing stock here in Knoxville, but I think a lot of coaches took an opportunity to pad their pockets, and many of them have. You know, a few come to mind immediately. Riley out in in Oklahoma State, a couple others to make it be known. I think that this was a storied program and still is to some extent. But man, when things got bad, the avalanche took over, and some people grabbed their skis and snowboard and just enjoyed the ride while it was happening.
I think you have a lot of boosters, and which is a good thing. But I think once you start trying to split the baby in half eight times to make all 9, 12 people in the room happy, or 7 people in the room happy, once that starts happening, you're in trouble. And I think that leads to really just, and I think that there's an emotional attachment to it more so than there is an analytical thought process and putting it together. Relationships have mattered. That's one of the reasons why I thought as soon as Danny White got hired, I'm like, well, the guy's literally never missed a football coaching hire. And the idea was Randy Boyd and Donda Plowman were kind of not pushing the boosters out of the way, but they were going to make this decision without all the boosters being involved. And I was like, well, this is going to work, right? So this is going to work, and it's going to be fine. And they hired Josh Heupel, and I'm still of the belief that that's going to work.
Right.
That was always, to me, why it was so crazy, is because you had some boosters that, man, they love the university, but they would just make some really bad emotional decisions because they didn't know a ton about, not that they don't know the game of football, but they don't understand what's going on in football in this day and age. And they thought they did. And I think that is what's led to so much insane things over the years.
Maybe this is not a fair question for me to ask you, but I'm going to ask you, especially with us put up against it. On the other side, there's so much hype around Josh Heupel right now. This offense, the numbers that just came out, the record-breaking numbers we've seen over this past season. It's just, there's so much sexiness to it. Everybody's just like, this offense, it can go to the next level next year. Wait till more recruits get in. The way things played out with the fans with Kiffin leaving in the middle of the night. And perhaps maybe it was the kind of just trying to sneak out at the end of the night and take recruits while you're at it. Do you believe, Will, that there's a chance that if Heupel was ever to be swooped up, maybe it might be by, I'm not even going to say Oklahoma, but maybe somebody right now that needs a new head coach or something plays out the way it does, if Tennessee does get back on track, that we could see maybe a 2.0 stanza happen again, similar to what happened with Lane Kiffin 12 years ago last night? Think about that for a second, because I want to dive a little bit more deeper into that on the other side. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Tyler Ivins and Will West in the starting lineup here for your Thursday morning, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Two Tennessee football players, both reserves, enter the transfer portal on Wednesday afternoon. Offensive lineman Kayron Calvert and wide receiver Anderson Kobe. Some college basketball scores from Wednesday night. LSU held off the upset bid from Florida on the road, 64-58. Mississippi State handled Georgia, 88-72. Arkansas blasted Missouri, 87-43. Outside the conference, Duke blew past Wake Forest, 76-64. Michigan State scraped past Minnesota, 71-69. And Villanova got by Xavier, 64-60. That was a 14-17 ranked matchup. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $6 billion to support educational programs in Tennessee. To learn more, visit tnlottery.com. It is 8:13. What's going on with Tennessee basketball? We'll discuss when we return here on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
12 years ago last night, Kiffin hit the door to head to USC. Was it the strangest moment in the program's history? How about the athletic department's history? 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Rick's been waiting patiently this morning. Hi, Rick. Starting lineup, man. Good morning
to
you.
Hey, guys. Morning to you. Hey, a couple things I want to mention, guys. And I'm 60 years old. You guys too young to remember this. But first of all, when Doug Dickey was our football coach, he was absolutely had it going. I mean, we were a top five team there. We were playing in big-time bowl games. And literally kind of at the last minute, right after a big bowl game, he announced he was going to, guess which school, Florida,
yeah,
where he played. So he coached there for a number of years, did well. Then when Bob Woodruff retired as our AD, the powers that be brought Doug Dickey in as the AD. And, guys, it's so weird. People never – a lot of the old-timers certainly didn't embrace it. They never really accepted it. It got to the point that a lot of people felt like it was a Florida conspiracy and Doug Dickey was working against the University of Tennessee. But by far the weirdest thing I've ever seen, other than what I call the Lane lobotomy, when he pretty well gave us one when he left. A few years back, guys, and you're too young to remember this, Doug Dickey offered Kevin Stallings our basketball job. He said, yeah, I want to be your basketball coach. They have a press conference scheduled, and literally at the 11th hour, Kevin Stallings says, you know, I've thought about this, Coach Dickey. I'm not coming. So he had to stand up and tell everybody at the press conference that Kevin Stallings wasn't going to be our coach, and we were still looking. That's all I got, guys. Have a good one.
Rick, we appreciate it. Kevin Stallings.
Yeah, I
got
to be honest. I was not that young at that point, and I totally didn't remember that. So
Kevin Stallings?
That is. Yeah, that Tennessee was going to hire. I remember they were going to hire him. I didn't remember the press conference side of it. That is a really good one. I'd forgot that they were going to hire him, but I did remember the press conference thing. So good. Nice job there.
I don't recall Kevin Stallings ever being in the, maybe now the age, maybe it's Tyler, who's the young one here. Kevin Stallings, correct me if I'm wrong, is he still not serving a show cause for that dumb stuff he was doing up in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think so. I think he is. It may be over now, but he got one.
He left Pittsburgh in a bad, bad spot. I'm almost certain they went winless in ACC play when he went up there. He left Vanderbilt to go to Pittsburgh, and he just absolutely turned that program upside down, and not in a good way. 656-9900. There's so much happening right now with Josh Heupel. I mean, people are just in love with Josh Heupel. I mean, even the sniff of, hey, could Oklahoma come calling when coincidentally, Lincoln Riley left for USC. You don't believe we would ever see another Lane Kiffin mattress burning situation again. Maybe it's not a Josh Heupel situation.
No.
You don't believe there could never be a 2.0 to what happened 12 years ago last night, right?
Well, I think that people liked that Lane cut promos and things like that. And
sure,
they liked the personality, because there was there were people that when before Heupel was hired were mad Heupel was hired because they thought Lane should have been hired at the time. Right. And so, of course, Lane's going to play into it by following people on Twitter and things like that because he thinks it's hilarious. So it's just different with Lane than with anyone else. So I don't know if Heupel left, I'd be like, well, who are we going to get? Also, you're in a better situation right now. And so you don't have the NCAA breathing down your back. But at the time, Tennessee was used to being at the top. Tennessee had fallen down a peg, if not two or three.
Right.
And quickly. And Lane was cutting promos about how he's going to have him right back on the top. And so people bought into what he was selling. I think with Heupel, there's been a slower buy-in than with any of the last three coaches before him. When to me, that's the one guy they finally got that you could buy into. With Pruitt, it was like, no one had any idea. If he'd grown up, at the time at Alabama, then he could get it done. If he hadn't, then he wasn't gonna. And it is what it is. There was the with Butch, you knew what it was going to be. It was going to be 8-4, 9-3 tops. Then when people figure out the read option, does he have anything else to go to? And he didn't. With Dooley, there was no reason to expect that he was going to win. But I think that people got burned so many times buying in that they haven't really bought into Heupel, frankly, in the way that I think they probably should. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing right now. He's going to have to earn it. But I don't think people would burn mattresses or anything like that if Heupel leaves. They would just be like, all right, go hire Jeff Lebby.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm going back to the moment the Wyoming game happened. Fulmer was let go, and then you have the players essentially, tell the university to shove it after that game. And I'm sitting back and I'm trying to remember my feelings in Neyland Stadium that day when the Wyoming game occurred. And even me at my age at that time, never once did I believe that it would turn into what has been just 12 years of what in goodness gracious name is happening here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
There was the Arian Foster, the press conference with Philip Fulmer and Arian Foster walking through television saying, where's John Adams and stuff like that. Do we remember that situation?
Hey, reset that. Repeat that last thing because you dropped a little bit there. Will, say that again.
Oh, you did the press conference when Philip Fulmer was let go.
Yeah.
And there was the Arian Foster walking through on video saying, oh, where's John Adams and stuff like that. And like players like trying to intimidate media members for, calling for Philip Fulmer's job and things like that. That was bad poop crazy. The whole thing's just been bad. It's been bad poop crazy here like 100 times.
So it's a day that ends in Y is what you're getting at, essentially, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But if you think about it, there's so many things, even the Bruce Pearl situation, everything that happened with that. I don't know what it is about Tennessee that attracts the crazy or brings the crazy out of normally not crazy people. But, man, when the last caller brought that up about Coach Dickey coming back to be the AD, that's insane. You would never do that. A guy that was coaching your school leaves you for one of your rivals, and then you bring him back as the athletics director. That would never happen now. And it worked out, but I'll be real. He was right. I had a grandparent who would football season, Tennessee's challenging for a national title, everything's fine. Basketball season's not, the team's not good.
Right.
Doug Dickey's just trying to run us into the ground. He's a Florida Gator. He don't need to be here. And I was like, you bought season tickets for football for like 3 decades. What are you talking about?
Do you believe this is something we need to order sage? Maybe burn it? Or is there like maybe a power somewhere we have to like maybe like dig something up and like maybe go to like the center of the earth or something? Maybe there's something underground here in Knoxville. Is there like a something that's maybe territorial or Indian ground that we need to take care of? Because I feel like that the craziness will never stop here in Knoxville until we put an end to all this.
No, I think it's over. I will say, I think it's over.
What indication is that it's over? Do you know something that I don't know, or do you have like a feeling in your bones?
Adults are in the room. Well, okay, so I think that think about how crazy Alabama was, right? Okay. You kept hiring, you hired Mike Shula, you hired Mike Price, and he gets fired before he coaches a game for using a school debit card, a credit card for a strip club. There was all that. And so Nick Saban comes in, and what did he do? Got the boosters in line. Again, and the boosters are still very vitally important at Alabama, and your boosters always will be important. But they got in line, they got on the same page. It does seem like right now at Tennessee, the boosters are on the same page. And they let the football people go do the football jobs, the basketball people go do the basketball jobs, baseball to go let them do that, and they provide the support you want from your boosters. But it's not an out-of-balance situation like it was an out-of-balance situation for a few decades.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins, Start Pitch Cut. Riding with Ivins, we go for 7 in a row, and all I'm going to say is with Will West returning to the program today, we went a little obscure again, and it's going to be a doozy. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal. Stick around. The $64,000 question here on your Thursday TSL. Are Samoas the best Girl Scout cookie available on the market? We already know the answer. It's no. But some people will lead you to believe otherwise. He's Will West. Tyler Ivan, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Will, our girl Casey Wheelis over at WVLT, before we get into Start Bitch Cut, she's really digging her claws in on this one. Apparently, it's not just her. Apparently, Heather Haley as well, who's given us all the news and the weathers and all that stuff. Apparently, over at WVLT, man, they're supposed to be our partners, but apparently we're just putting a big old line of divide there between everybody.
Yeah, it's, I will just say that is, I love them to death. They're just dead wrong on the Samoas. Dead wrong. Like, honestly, if you laid Samoas in front of me right now, there's no chance I'm eating them.
I would
not
probably,
gonna happen.
I put in my gas tank. I feel like that's probably this engine fuel, but I mean, nothing for my body. I just feel like the content of Coke, I don't know what it is, man. Everybody has that one thing, man. For Kaner, there's like 12 things. I'm blown away when Kaner says he doesn't like condiments and dressing and things like that. Coconut for me, man. If it gets anywhere near me, man, I flip a table. I'm literally like, let's get everybody rah-rah. I will flip the catering table if anybody tries to put any coconut, anything, anywhere near me. What's the
Yeah, look, I'm pro-coconut, but I understand because I have cucumber feelings, we'll just say.
Really? Yep. Eric Kane's nodding his head right now, so a complete agreement. Are you ready to go right now into a little Start Bench Cut? Let's get into it.
Let's
here on
it.
TSL.
Today is National Rubber Ducky Day. Best toys to play with in the tub when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Start Bench Cut Ducky action figures, or the correct answer. The correct answer for any child, cars.
No, man. The correct cars. Answer here is action figures. Yes. You start the action figures because you're storming Normandy or whatever it is you might be doing, but you're storing the beaches.
Yeah, because that child knows exactly what that is. You're right.
Yes. Actually, you start the action figures. You know what? If your kid doesn't know about Storm in Normandy, that's bad parenting. That's the way I look at it. Bench cars and cut the ducky. God bless. I had a rubber duck when I was a little kid. I remember seeing pictures of it, but I don't remember having a duck.
I mean, is this the 1960s? I mean, let's move on now, right?
You're my rubber ducky. I'm going to start action figures because I'm going to tell you right now, while you got your little soap suds beard hanging from your chin when you're 3 years old, 2 years old in the bathtub, you want to make sure that Ninja Turtles, your Donatello and Power Rangers are all making sure they're on each side of the tub before they face off against each other. And then there's the crash, boom, whistle, and everything is good to go. You're going to bench the cars. I don't think I've ever had a rubber ducky. I don't think I've ever been involved in any rubber ducky races, but I think like that's something I really would want to. It's the clear cut here.
Today is the 13th day of the month. How superstitious are you?
Oh.
Won't walk under a ladder? Just a little stitious.
Thank you.
Or no such thing as bad luck.
I'm going to start this one.
Okay.
I'm a little stitious. Like, whenever I'm on a heater, like I am right now with Riding with Ivins, I will not wear socks. Now, some people would say, Ivins, I don't think I ever see you wear socks with your loafers anyway. No. It's only whenever I'm on a heater, which I appreciate you noticing. I'm going to bench. I won't walk under a ladder and cut. There's no such thing as superstition whatsoever. Somebody's got a little bit of a trend, or they do a little thing in order if they feel like something's going well. Let's be honest. Anybody who says there's no such thing as superstition.
No. There's no such thing as bad luck.
Oh, bad luck. Excuse me. I apologize. There is such thing as bad luck. So that's the clear cut here.
Here's the thing. You can jinx yourself, but it's biblical, right? Pride cometh before the fall. I think that if you were a team was in the wild card right now, and you said, no, like if you're a Chiefs fan, you say, I could buy tickets to the Steelers game. No, I'll go ahead and just wait and buy them for the divisional round. Your team's going to lose in the wild card round. So you can't do that. Like you will absolutely cost your team a game. If you talk well about your team, I am of the belief that your team is going to lose. So I'm a little stitious, and it's only in sports. I will bench. There's no such thing as bad luck because I think there's only the bad luck that you believe in that comes true. And I'll cut, won't walk under a ladder. I'll throw a mirror in the floor right now.
See, here's the difference, though. I mean, like, I poor mouthed my team many, many times, but trust me, they've earned it. Like, Will would poor mouth the Dodgers when they got their best record in the league 10 games up. Like, it's just, you know.
No.
You know what, though? Here's the thing. You're trying to talk to me about, oh, got a series win against the Nats. You're supposed to. Shut up. I don't know if that's poor mouthing.
Yes. Wait. Exactly.
Only losers brag about series wins.
This is the dumbest argument. You will never win this argument. Josh Ward and I still to this day have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, see, that's the key. You've already lost the argument. That's why you know I've already won the argument.
Wins in baseball, that's a good thing. Tyler?
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying you don't brag about that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Not running out of gas on the way home from work. I don't brag about that.
In a 162-game schedule. Okay. Which former NFL head coach is most appealing for one of the current openings? Doug Peterson, Dan Quinn, or Bill O'Brien?
I'm going to start Doug Peterson. I think he got a bad rap in Philadelphia, even though things didn't go well for him near the end. I really feel like Jim Caldwell should have been added to this list, but I'll continue. I'm going to bench Dan Quinn. I'm going to cut Bill O'Brien. I don't want Bill O'Brien anywhere near any of the franchises, unless, of course, it's the one in Miami, because then that means they're going to suck.
So I think Peterson's a good coach. He just wanted to be that guy, right? He wanted to run the whole thing, and I don't. If Peterson knew his role, I would have no problem having Peterson. I don't want the other two. So I don't think Dan Quinn's a particularly good coach, and I don't think that Bill O'Brien's a particularly great coach either, and he definitely wants to run that thing. So I'll start Peterson, I'll bench O'Brien, I'll cut Dan Quinn, but frankly, I wouldn't want any of them.
What's the biggest problem for Tennessee basketball right now? Too many threes, start that 10 times over. Lack of movement without the basketball or too much isolation?
I'm going to start too many three-pointers. I'm going to bet it's actually that order that you listed it in. That's the way that right now the Tennessee issues go 1 through 3 that order. You start too many threes. I'm going to bench lack of movement without the basketball. I'm going to cut too much isolation.
So I think this is chicken or the egg. I think that lack of movement without the basketball is the start for me. Especially, and I don't know what it was. Maybe again, it's just the optics of watching the difference in the way that those dudes worked off the ball. Again, the Villanova game and the Xavier game versus the Tennessee game with South Carolina. But I do think that maybe there wouldn't be too many threes and there wouldn't be too much isolation if dudes moved more without the basketball. So I'll start lack of movement without the basketball. I'm going to bench any threes. I'm going to cut too much isolation, even though there's some of that. In the last two games, Tennessee's done a good job limiting their 3-point shots.
Today is actress Julia Lois Dreyfus. Is that a name?
Oh, boy.
That's my favorite one now. Oh. That is my new Louis Dreyfus.
There's no way that overcomes Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay, keep in mind, when Seinfeld was out, I was literally not even born.
Tanner, one more time. What's her name?
Best character on Seinfeld.
The Louis Dreyfus family is like an ancient, wealthy family from France, like way back in the day.
It is pronounced. It is spelled Dreyfus. That is. I'm literally. Unless Tyler spelled it wrong,
I didn't write that. Lois. I think you said Lois instead of. I thought you were going to say Lewis. I was concerned about that, but I didn't think Lois was going to happen. But I'm excited that it did.
Julian
Lois is also spelled that way, in case you were wondering.
No, it's Lois.
What the hell ever? George Elaine or Kramer? George Elaine or Kramer?
I'm going to start George. I'm going to bench Kramer. I'm going to cut Elaine.
I'm going to start George. I'm going to bench Elaine. I'm going to cut Kramer.
Best retread NFL coaching option, Brian Flores, Doug Peterson, or Jim Caldwell?
I'm going to start Jim Caldwell. I'm going to bench Brian Flores. I'm going to cut Doug Peterson.
I'm going to start Jim Caldwell. I'm going to bench Doug Peterson. I was telling Cater this off the air. I didn't realize until I was reading this morning, Brian Flores had 4 offensive line coaches, 4 offensive coordinators, and 2 defensive coordinators in 3 seasons. And he and Tua got into the screaming match, reportedly. And he didn't get along with the GM. Like, at some point in time, it's not literally everybody, it's you. And I just don't think anybody's going to be able to work with Brian Flores.
Oh, man, I have got tears coming down my face right now. Kaner, thank you so much for that. Just the gift that keeps on giving.
Ryan Tannehill, that's how you pronounce his name.
Nope, Tannehill, because that kid, Steve Tannehill, used to have the mullet back in the day.
Literally, it's Tannehill.
Look, if he pronounces his name wrong, that's not my fault.
Same with Elaine.
Oh.
They've been pronouncing it wrong since like the 12th century.
Same with Elaine.
We go to the reset. Brian Rice joins us in studio. What he remembers from 12 years ago last night when Lane left for USC. Not only that, boys and girls, we go for 7 straight. Riding with Divins wraps things up next on the starting lineup. 99.1. You're listening to the Sports App.
College basketball scores from Wednesday night. LSU held off the upset bid from Florida on the road 64-58. Mississippi State handled Georgia 88-72. Arkansas blasted Missouri 87-43. Outside the Southeastern Conference, Duke blew past Wake Forest 76-64. Michigan State escaped Minnesota 71-69. And Villanova got by Xavier 64-60 in the 14-17 ranked matchup. College football, Penn State running back Noah Cain has entered the transfer portal, and the Big Ten has added a cross-divisional game to the 2022 football schedule. Have a little fun with Insta Games. January Insta Games available now at any Tennessee Lottery retailer, with top prizes ranging anywhere from $5,000 up to $500,000. It's 8:43. Riding with Ivins on the Crossover with the Eric Kane Show. That's coming up next here on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Final segment for your Thursday, January 13th. We're here to hit the sevens, boys and girls. Tyler Ivins, Will West, starting lineup. About to cross over at the Eric Gaines Show with Brian Rice. One of my favorite movies of all time is Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. And one of my favorite lines of all time in that film is when Jim Carrey says, and I quote, "much, a little too much." And that's what we're seeing today between the likes of Citadel taking on North Carolina Greensboro. Why are you laughing, Will?
Because it's D-Gen picks, dude. You're crushing the D-Gen picks right now.
Why are you laughing, D-Gen Will?
Picks. We can admit that. These are D-Gen picks, right? Will you admit, yes, this is a D-Gen pick, and then make the D-Gen pick, and we'll win?
All that matters is we cash the tickets, sir. Citadel's playing host to North Carolina Greensboro. Yeah, give me a little bit more game there, Kaner. Come on. I'm going to get hyped up here for pick number 7 in a row. A much and much too much is what we're going here. What's happened here, folks, is that Citadel, beg your pardon, North Carolina Greensboro, they have hit the under in 5 of their last 6 games. So what's happened here is that Vegas has dropped this total way too low. You know, you get burned on the under 5 out of your last 6 games, you're going to start dropping totals in games featuring Greensboro. This number is way too low today. Your play for today, Thursday, January the 13th. What are we doing? We're taking the over 133.5 between Greensboro and Citadel. 7 in a row. I can smell it now, riding with Ivins. Hey, 12 years ago yesterday, last night, Brian Rice.
Yes.
Mattresses. Mace.
I was I had just bought my house in November and moved in January 1st. So I was at the first HOA meeting. They have the annual meeting every year. The annual meeting. And so I was there, and I got a text that it was happening. And then I got a text of, hey, you should come down here. So it's like, sorry, everybody. I got to go. Football coach is leaving.
Yeah, but you can't have an intent on the side of your place.
I'll see y'all at the pool this summer.
Mow your lawn.
Make sure your lawn gnomes are clean on the garden party.
So I went down there and stood in the corner and tried to resist the urge to go and punch Lane Kiffin in the mouth.
Really?
Yeah. I was.
You met at Lane for that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
He got you out of an HOA meeting. I mean, that first frankly, I think
sounds
you
like you
kind of
owe him a bouquet of flowers annually.
If he had kept me from being on the board years later, I would have sent him a gift basket from an edible arrangement, but he
thank you.
He didn't do that. I was the idiot who decided to be on the board later. So anyway,
what do you remember the most from that night, besides Lane leaving and everything, the standoff between Bud Ford and cameras, where the recruits, all that?
More than all of that, when we got back to the house, my friend and roommate at the time, Cameron Harris, said this program is dead. And I got real like, no, it's not. No, we'll get somebody. Boy, what a prophetic statement that was. Because the program has not been the same since that moment.
Was that the moment?
But here's the thing. Is it Lane leaving or is it hiring Derek Dooley after Lane leaves?
Yes. That's the question.
Here's the thing. It's Lane leaving because Lane had tried to remake the roster. Lane had run a bunch of guys before his first season. He ran a bunch more guys after the season. So you had this depleted roster, and then he had signed some guys, and basically none of his guys that he signed his first year really panned out.
Right.
And then you had a half a class. Some of them stayed. Some of them didn't.
I think I know the answer to this question, so I'm going to ask you what I asked Will back in hour number one. Derek Dooley, knee-jerk reaction hire just to salvage a recruiting class.
Yeah, it was Mike Hamilton painted himself into a corner, if you remember. He said, we have to have a coach by Friday because this is a big recruiting weekend. So he goes around and he gets turned down all week,
right.
And multiple people close to him said, yeah, let's keep looking. Let's not hire this guy that just went 4-8 at Louisiana Tech. He's a I've come out and said publicly, we're having a press conference Friday, and we're having a press conference Friday, and that was the guy that said yes. And shout out to my buddy Wes Todd, who worked with him at Louisiana Tech, told us all, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. And Will, you said it at the time on the air. I remember when he was announced hiring, I was pulling into my office, out west, and I think about this about once a week when I pull into the parking lot at the office. Will, you just, it, Josh said, and our own Jimmy Himes reports that Tennessee's hiring Derek Dooley, and you go, well, that's not going to work.
Yeah, that was a, and it was so funny because we had, like, I got, my buddy Sean Fox was working, doing some work with Louisiana Tech at the time. And so we had him on to talk about, you know, what do you know about Derek Dooley? And he's like, frankly, I can't believe y'all hired him. And yeah. It was like, that's not the first sentence you want to hear, right?
If he had gotten hired a year earlier when he was coming off the bowl appearance and the big wins and all that, you could understand it. He had just gone 4-8 at Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, and they honestly, they actually thought when he first heard about it, he was doing broadcasts with the Louisiana Tech Network, and he said, true story, we all assumed it was for the AD. We're like, oh, wow, they fired Hamilton. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Wait, you hired him as football coach?
He was
coach?
A better AD than he was a football coach at Louisiana Tech.
They still talk about how, that he was a really great AD. He was a really, really good AD as far as especially fundraising and things like that.
Yeah. They didn't have a Jumbotron at their football stadium until in 2010. They didn't have a Jumbotron in their football stadium. It got put up right before Dooley's last year. So I guess 2009.
Your co-host keeps texting Will and I about how he used to use his shampoo bottle as a kid to make chips and toys and all that stuff. Yeah. But I think he just wants to make a Billy Madison reference when he comes into the studio.
Quit looking at me, Swan.
What are you guys talking about when he does kick this door in?
We will talk about K-Rod Calvert and the portal and the improvement in the Vols' offensive numbers from last year to this year. Vol Football with a good tweet on that. We'll break down some of the numbers next.
Yes or no, Tennessee will surpass 511 total points next year. 511. True. 511 and a half. You're taking the over?
They're rolling. They're scoring points next year.
That's right.
Hendon Hooker. Cedric Tillman, let's score some points.
Hey, Will, get to feeling better. If not, stay as far away from us as possible. Age is up next with Rice. Goodbye. We'll talk to you on Friday. Make this the best Thursday ever.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.